Good morning, and please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
So this weekend, Friday we began the Florida Bahamas Synod Assembly, and boy, does that sound like a mouthful if you have no idea what it is. So it's 180 Lutheran congregations that came together. As a group, we meet together once a year, and at that time there are different church business that will be conducted, and it's also an awesome time for us to get together to talk about the things and how God is moving in our lives. And so one of the things that happened at the assembly was that really you were all there. And I'm going to tell you how you were there, because it was really quite surprising to me. Usually, they give me a heads up and say, well, we're going to talk about living faith. But not this time. They didn't give me the heads up. So they're talking about congregations that are under development in the Lutheran Church. That's us. And so there's acronyms, and it's CUD, C-U-D. So, of course, the bishop puts up a picture of a cow chewing all this stuff, and he says, not that kind of cud. And he said, this kind of cud. And the next thing I know, I see a picture of all of our kids up front during a children's sermon. And then when we went on to talk about, or the bishop went on to talk about living faith and what's happening here. And there was a prayer said for us. And then the next day, it was discussed again, and how we are being helped by other congregations. And this time, all of you were in that photo, and it was Palm Sunday. And do you remember those huge palms that we had? Those really big palms? I heard a couple of people saying, now that's a Palm Sunday, not just a little palm. Huge palms that you brought. And that picture was up there. And prayers were said again for this congregation. It's awesome. They're praying for us, for you, for this community of faith that we call Living Faith, for each of you individually, but more important, for us as a community of God's children. They prayed that we will hear and listen for our growth in Jesus Christ. They prayed that we would see each other and our neighbors and strangers and those in our cities and those in our country and those in our nation, that we would see them as God sees them. Just as Jesus saw the woman, as I told the kids this morning in the gospel. They prayed that we would not put conditions on God's love. That we would not put conditions on God's freedom and on God's forgiveness. That we come and we understand that it is the work in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and nothing that we do. This morning we continue in our listening to the letter that St. Paul wrote to the Gentile community, this new community, these new followers in Christ. And if you remember, what was happening was that there was Paul who came in and said to this non-Jewish community, there is nothing that you need to do. It is in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that you are given new life. And then Paul leaves them after about a year. And a new group comes in, and they are Jewish followers of Jesus, okay? And they say, no, there is some things you have to do, okay? This is what you need to do. And they say what they are. The particular one that was important was circumcision of all men. And also the second was to make sure that you are eating and keeping the dietary laws. So now Paul, we know, gets wind of this, and he's like, whoa, wait a minute. No. Have you forgotten what I said? So this is not a Jewish versus what we would call Christian understanding of who God is. This is a Christian understanding. Are there rules or are there not rules? Do you have to follow God's law and then you're in? Or is it, no, you are freed from the law now? We can misunderstand and understanding what this letter is about. So Paul told us in the beginning, right, in the very beginning of the letter, he said, you are enough. There is nothing that you are required to do because Jesus Christ is enough. Then the second thing that we heard last week was Paul's call story. Paul was originally Saul, the one who went around persecuting and killing the followers of Jesus. And then there were the two words, the one really important word, but when. Jesus opened up Paul's eyes to understand who Jesus is, everything changed. As a matter of fact, Saul was no longer Saul. He was now Paul. And he was out there promoting the gospel. It was that but when, right? Everything to the left of the but goes away. He doesn't define himself as that anymore. He defines himself in the new. And we talked a little bit about how we can say, you know, well, you know, you do this really well. But when you do this, oh, forget it. Well, did you forget about the but when over here? Yeah, we do forget that. And that's what Jesus says. Before me, it's the but when. But when Jesus came, I'm new, I'm different. Now we hear this word, the law, right? Now, we can tend to think that the law, Jesus says, you know, or God says, forget it, get rid of the laws. No. There are very different uses of the law. In this particular case, we have laws that are civil laws. They keep us alive. They keep us safe. When there's a traffic light, you stop. When it's green, you go. There's laws about stealing. There's laws about murdering. There's all different laws. And that's what keeps a society sustainable. It's what keeps us from harming each other and taking what doesn't belong for each other. And that's what we call the civil use of the law, how it's used. And that has something so totally different. It has something totally different to do with the spiritual use of the law. The spiritual use of the law is this. I gave you 10 commandments. If you don't follow them, you can never, ever, ever be one with me. Let's be honest with ourselves. If God said that to us, would any of us be reconciled to God? Yeah. Any of us. Because if we look at the heart of what those laws are, when we talk about stealing, we're not talking about going over and taking what doesn't belong to us, going into a store and not paying for it. We're talking about the things that might be done to get someone to get something from them that clearly does not belong to you, but is the neighbor's. And stealing also refers to the things that we may do to keep our neighbor from thriving and getting things. And the same is true for murder. We're not talking about going and shooting and taking away someone's life. What about the things that we say that kills? And we all know that we do it. It is a part of who we are as humans, not a particularly nice side of who we are as humans. But we understand that, you know something? We are unable to keep God's law. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't try, but what it does mean is it is not the measure of whether or not we will become one with God. You see, what the law really does is it makes us realize that we can never come to God on our own. But it is Jesus Christ who fulfilled the law, who basically broke the law open and said, because of me and my death and resurrection, you are one with God. And that's what atone means, at one. You are reconciled to God because of me, not because of anything that you have done and not because of anything that you can done and do. And when you really think about it, what the law does is it kills us. It kills us by saying, you can't do this, but I did for you. That's what we talk about when we talk about God's faithfulness. God is so faithful. And God realized there's nothing that we can do. God came to us, walked with us, taught us how we should be in community, brought all the marginalized people, the people that everyone else said, stay away from me, he brought them all into community. And in the death and resurrection, we too die and we rise as new creatures in God. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. You know, one of my favorite examples that as I was thinking about, you know, what's one of the best ways to explain this? Because it's hard, isn't it? It's really hard. And I was thinking about the waves at the beach. Ever been to the beach where there are these ginormous, because I don't know how else I can describe them, waves that just knock you right down, right? We think that we can sustain the power of the wave. Have you ever been knocked down by a wave before? Yeah. Have you ever, like, just stood there and say, I can fight this? Yeah, Christopher, you've been knocked down by a wave before, right? Yeah, it's like, you try really hard to stand your ground, and this wave is not going to knock me down. And what happens when you get knocked down? You get a little scared, don't you? And what if we learned that if we just relax and let that wave take us, what happens? The wave will release you. That's sort of what it is like with the law. We can stand there stoically and say, I can do this. But each and every time we realize we can't rely on ourselves, we're going to get knocked down over and over and over again. I heard on the news this morning, how do you get out of a riptide, right? Break the rip? What do they say? Just let it go, right? I think, what's the slogan? Parallel. But you're supposed to release yourself in, let it take you, and then you can swim parallel. Well, that's what it's like. You know, we're going to continue to stand here and say over and over and over again, I can keep the law. And each and every time, God's going to come and knock us down. And how bad does that hurt when we realize that we can't do it? What happens when you learn the power of the wave? You learn how to ride that wave in, don't you? You learn how to watch for the wave and see it and turn and start swimming, and then what happens? You and the wave become one, and you ride that wave in. Isn't that the best feeling when you ride that wave in? But that wave is taking us, isn't it? We're not controlling that wave. That wave is taking us. And that's what Paul speaks about. Christ lives in me. I am new. It's not that I control Christ, but Christ in me has made me new. My heart is different. I see differently. It's like riding the wave, the two of you in sync together. That's what that feels like, the riding of the wave. When Paul speaks about God's righteousness, this is what he's talking about. He's talking not about God being the Holy One, God being righteous. He's talking about what God does. What does God do? God creates. God reconciles. God restores. Right? God gives life and thriving life. And so Paul says we're called to participate in that. That's what we're called to do. When we also die in Christ, we die to our self-understanding that there's anything we can do to become one with Christ. And we rise up new and we recognize that we are called to participate in creating, in forgiving, in reconciling, and in bringing in the kingdom of God today. Not to stand in judgment, not to tear down, not to isolate, but to bring together, to create new, to restore, to transform. So as you leave here today, I want you to go out there and ride the wave. And if it's too much for you to think about riding the wave, I want you to think of the difference between an oak tree and a willow tree. When that wind comes, that oak is going to stand tall, and eventually it's going to break and fall over. But the willow tree goes with the wind, providing shade for all and a beautiful sound. Participate in God's righteousness, because you are dead to yourself and you rise new in Christ. And it is Christ who lives in you. So go forth. Create. Reconcile. Be at one with each other and also in Christ. Amen.